This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I'll be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Having the Will to Win. Having the Will to Win. This series is all about having a confidence, having a conviction. You got to having a faith that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, that I am in it to win it. That the fight is not over until I win. That if I keep swinging, I am going to hit something. Last week, we started from the subject of hearing and obeying the voice of God. It was really, really good. However, Pastor couldn't get it all done, and so I wanted to pick right back up where we left off because it's such an important lesson. Because how many know every person in this room needs to know how to hear from God for themselves? And all right, so Luke, the fifth chapter, in the second verse, this was our foundational scripture, and so I still want to read that. We'll do a little bit of review, but I want to jump right into new information because I realize I still have a long ways to go, but I think we can get there. Luke, the fifth chapter, and the second verse, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's," who's Peter, "and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon Peter answering and said unto him, Master, we've already been fishing, we've toiled all night, we've already done everything we've done, but thank God," he says, "nevertheless, at thy word." And that's what I want you to understand, that is, it is at the word of God that he speaks to your life that can change your entire life, that can change everything about what's going on in this season of your life, all right? He says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, not done this, but when they had this done, only KJV does stuff like that, "they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and they," watch this, "and their net break." Praise the Lord. So I told you, we started talking last week, and I was explaining to you that one thing that I've learned how to do from an early age in my life, and thank God for my father who really taught me, was how to hear from God. And it's important that you have a pastor that knows how to hear from God so I can teach you how to hear from God. You got it? I told you last week that, you know, God is not schizophrenic. People say God said one thing, and then they say God said something else, and then when things don't go the way they want to, they begin to fabricate new instructions from the Lord. No, God doesn't change his mind. He says, "I am the Lord and I change not." And so if God said something, or you said that God says something, and you come back and change it, you got it. You know, either God was lying or you was lying, and how many know God is not a man that he should lie? Right? And so be careful about always saying God said this and God said that and God said that. There are times when God speaks to me and I don't have to go around telling everybody God says. I can just act on what God told me. Isn't that right? Yeah, and because I think sometimes we feel we're, you know, being extra deep because we, you know, the Lord spoke to me. Guess what? He speaks to us all. Praise the Lord. All right. So if you walk with the wise, you will increase in wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and 20, "He that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Proverbs the 20th chapter and the 5th verse. I love this verse. "Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water." So when you hang around people of wisdom, instead of doing all the talking, learn to do the listening. All right. When I'm around any great men of God, when I'm around men of God, you got it. I don't do a whole lot of talking. You got it. I do a whole lot of listening, because it says, "But a man of understanding can draw it out." So when you're with people of wisdom, you got it. And they're starting to speak on a certain subject. You know, even if I know about the subject, even if I know the scripture, even if I have my own revelation, I don't have anything to say. I'm listening to these men of God because I'm trying to draw out from the wisdom that they have. You got it. Sometimes When they get done, I may ask a question. Why? Because I'm trying to draw it out from them. Does that make sense? So it's critical to learn the voice of God. It's critical to learn how to hear the voice of God, but not just to hear his voice, but to obey his voice. John 10:4 says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." They know his voice, all right? And so we talked last week, and we're going to kind of just give you some quick review because I need to get to my new information. Metaphorically, we says when the Bible uses words like heart or kennel or earth, it's really talking about the spirit of man. If you remember, I began to tell you how the spirit of God, when he talks to us, is often intrusive, that it rushes into our thinking. It comes into our recreated human spirit. So, you know, we are a spirit. We possess a soul. We live on the inside of a physical body. But our spirit is who we are. So when we get saved, our spirit man automatically becomes alive to God. And watch this. And that is how God communicates his spirit with our spirit, all right? Because when you get saved, your soulish man, which is your mind, your will, your imagination, your emotion, and your intellect, it has to be renewed. You have to change your way of thinking. You got it? I think I said that, you know, if you are a mean sinner and you come in and you get saved, but you don't renew your mind, if you're not careful, you end up being a mean saint. Does that make sense? If you are a stingy sinner and then you come in and you get saved, but you don't go any further, you don't learn the word, you don't apply the word, you don't renew your mind and change your way of thinking, you're going to become a stingy saint. Like, and so on and on. Because even though my spirit man is now alive to God, you got it, I have to be changed or transformed by the renewing of my mind. And I declare, I believe that the renewing of the mind is an ongoing process. I believe that. You got it? Pastor has been saved most of his life, been pastoring for a long time. But watch this. I'm continuing to renew my mind and change my way of thinking as I get more information. You got it? Saturation in information is how you renew your mind. Information is the word of God. Saturation is to hear it over and over and over. And you ever read a scripture that you read before? You got it? And then watch this. A new light and new insight and new information came. You got it? And watch this. And when you get new revelation. A revelation is just an understanding of the word of God at your level of comprehension. That's all revelation is, all right? And watch this. When you get revelation, the whole thing about it is when you begin to know better, you begin to do better. Does that make sense? You know, and so as I begin to learn to know better and how to be a better husband, I do better. As I begin to learn how to know better as to be a father or a better father, I begin to do better. You know, does that make sense? And it's like that in every area of my life. So we're always growing, and the key to always learning how to grow is learning how to hear from God. And so we are to function out of our hearts and not out of our heads. God has never designed us to function out of our heads. I talked to you about that last week. And so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. My heart can think. The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. And so my heart is a production center. Out of my heart flows the issues of life. So I have to guard my heart. I told you about the movie that we saw the other week. And I was, you know, waking up in the middle of the night thinking about that line. You understand? And so that's what we have to know. Then we asked a question last week, how do I know it's his voice? And we said that it will be refreshing, that it will be revelatory, that it will be rhema, and that it will be radical. And so now we want to jump into new information, and let's talk about ways to hear from God, all right? Ways to hear from God. And this is why I couldn't just stop last week, you know, and just say, okay, we'll pick up with something else, because you needed to know this part. All right, ways to hear from God. Everybody say number one. All right, number one, are we stuck in the back? Okay, well, no problem. We can just keep that up there, and then I'll talk a little bit slower than I normally do, and then we'll all get to the same place. Isn't that right? Yeah, ways to hear from God. Number one, his written word. Number one, his written word, all right? When the word in the Greek is translated two ways, logos, or logos, which is written, or rhema, which we say spoken. Actually, in the Greek, it's to utter, all right? And we'll talk a little bit about those today. And so we'll talk about his written word. This is the number one way that God speaks to us, all right? Well, why would you try to categorize? Because the word of God must be the foundation direction and the final authority in our lives. We use the written word of God as the playbook or the measuring stick, as the case may be, for how we are to live our lives. There are so many instructions that God gives us in the word of God that if we will just take his written word and apply it in our lives, we will get amazing results. Does that make sense? And so this is the number one way, and that's why it is important that you read the word of God often, that you read the word of God all the time. You got it? And so because the power is in the word. Everybody say the power is in the word. All right? And so that's got to be the number one way. Because watch this, rhema can't really come correctly unless you're founded in logos. All right? And I'll talk to you about that a little bit later. And then, so it's the written word. And then number two, it is his audible voice. His audible voice. Yeah, y'all got it going. His audible voice. This is, if you remember in Scripture, Samuel, God was speaking to Samuel. He was young. And Samuel thought it was Eli talking to him. And Eli said, no, that wasn't me. You got it? And, you know, kind of went back and forth a few times and finally realized, okay, this was God that was speaking to him. And so Samuel was young, but he actually heard God through his natural ears, all right? Now, I've always believed this, that God is obligated to speak to us in a manner that we can receive it. Watch this. So watch this, because if we can't receive it, he cannot hold us accountable for his word. Does that make sense? When I read his written word, you got it, and everything I read in his word, once I read it, I understand it, I can receive it, so I'm now accountable. If God is going to speak to me, he's often going to come in a way where I can understand. Like most of the time, 99.9% of the time, when God is speaking to me, you got it, it's my own voice that I hear, but I know that's not really me. Does that make sense? Because God's going to come in a way that's not going to be spooky, you got it, and make me, you know, he's not going to probably come into your bedroom 3:00 in the morning, you got it, with all this thundering and deep, you know, and call your name, you got it. You're going to put them covers over your head, talking about, it is I, Lord, you know. All right, so God is able to speak to us in a manner which he can receive. Now, so I said that there's logos. Some people say logos. I don't think it really matters. And then there's rhema. So rhema is a spoken word or a word that is uttered. And you see the rhema several different ways, okay? Rhema is not just how you saw just with the audible voice with Samuel, but God speaks to us in all kinds of ways, all right? We just read earlier, Peter says, at thy word. Well, when Jesus was speaking, of course, he was speaking audibly. That was rhema, right? God, Joshua, remember when he was marching around the wall? Well, Joshua didn't have a Bible that told him Joshua marched around the wall, but the Spirit of God spoke to Joshua, the Bible said. And so that is rhema, all right? And so we need the written word as the foundation of our life, but we also need the rhema word, watch this, so that God can give us specific direction for certain seasons in our lives, especially when we are unclear of the direction that we need to go in. Does that make sense? So there's certain things. Now don't fight with me until you hear me say the whole thing. There's certain things you don't need a rhema word for because it's in his written word. You got it. You really don't need. I'm not saying God won't. I'm just saying you don't need. All right. You know, God teaches us to love in his word, doesn't it? He teaches us to forgive in his word, doesn't it? He teaches us to give in his word. So I don't necessarily need to say, well, Lord, you never sent me a rhema word to give, so therefore I'm not going to give. Or you didn't send me a rhema word. No. And not that God can't and not that God won't. But I have to understand that I have to take the written word of God, the logos, and make it the final authority that when I read it, that's what I do. Does that make sense? All right. So I don't necessarily have to have a rhema word when I can find the instructions or answer in the word of God. Does that make sense? I heard an old preacher years ago, of course I can't say it exactly like he said it, but he was explaining it, and I just never forget certain things, especially when you're trying to learn things. And he talked about how you hear the rhema or the spoken word is after you spent time in the logos, in the written word. He said when you've done this, and you need direction, he said that a rhema word will feel like as you are sometimes reading the scripture, The Spirit of God will speak to your spirit. He said, and it's almost like the words on the page will jump up out you. You got it? And it'll kind of give you a quickening. And then watch this. It's like you're reading that scripture and man, something just jumps up. And then beyond that, God will begin to speak to you or give you direction or those kind of things for your life. And so it's like the word, it just boom, comes alive to you. So it's rhema word. The rhema word of the Lord is the voice of the tried and established logos written word of God. All right? Because anytime rhema comes, it lines up with logos. All right? The rhema word will always be supported in the established truth revealed in the logos word of God. All right? Without logos, there would be no rhema. And logos is the standard that all rhema words are judged by. So I hope that wasn't too deep, was it? Say no. Okay, all right. And you're like, Pastor, you're telling me to say no. All right. So I know I shouldn't do that. But my whole goal is to make sure that I'm explaining it to you so you can understand it. All right. So the word translated two ways. Logos, that's the written word of God. When I open up and go to Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All right. And then the rhema word of God is when God speaks to me or speaks through my spirit. We're going to keep going because there's several ways a rhema word can come to you. All right. So we know that there can be the audible voice. All right. Jesus spoke to Peter. We know that he can speak to our spirit. And a lot of times that is how it happens. And then there's also number three. Everybody say number three. Number three, the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. When you might receive a word of knowledge from someone that is credible, all right? And you know, don't go around just receiving words from everybody you don't know. I'm going to just leave that alone, all right? And that's why I'm teaching you how to hear from God for yourself, all right? Because typically, if somebody comes and says they have a word for you, it should be a confirmation of something that you're already dealing with or going through in your life. Like if somebody comes and tells you they got a word for you, and you're like, man, I don't know where in the world that came from. That might not be a word from God. It might not, all right? Okay? And so there are the gifts of the Spirit, okay? And then there's number four. We kind of already talked about this, but I got to give it to you. That's the witness of the Spirit. And that is when I talked about that intrusive witness, that knowledge, that knowing. Have you ever wanted to do something and, you know, peace is our green light? You got it? If God gives me peace, then that's my green light, and then I go. If I don't have any peace, that's my red light. It doesn't mean that I should never do it, but I'm not moving until I get my green light, which is peace. Does that make sense? But have you ever been believing for something or wanting to step out in faith, you know, or what? And then all of a sudden, man, this knowing came on the inside of you. Almost this excitement. Not necessarily emotions, because you don't want to get caught up in emotions and live by emotions. But sometimes emotions will come with God's rhema word. Does that make sense? And so it's like, man, I know I got to do that. And then you do it and that thing works out. Well, so you will have it by the witness of the Spirit. This is why we must stay focused on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is why we must cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter and the 12th verse says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us of God, all right? So I don't have to work for it, all right? You got it? I don't have to give God another offering for it. Come on, somebody. Y'all know I believe in giving. You got it? But I believe in giving God's way. Does that make sense? So I don't believe in, you know, I'm going to give you a word and because you're going to sow $1,000 into my life. I personally just don't believe in that. You got it? I don't really think there's anything wrong with blessing somebody or anything like that. That's totally fine. I just don't believe in that. That's just me. I ain't saying God told me nothing. I'm just saying I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to have a line, you got it, and say, you know, yeah, I see a number, I see a number, 1210, 1,021. So everyone for 1,020, y'all all get in that line, and God told me to speak something to you. He don't deal with me like that. I'm not saying he doesn't deal with other people like that. I'm just saying he don't deal with me like that. Does that make sense? You got it. And so because the Bible said that everything from God is freely given to us. That's a good place to clap and you almost missed it. Some of y'all wondering, is he right or is he wrong about that? I didn't say God said it. I said James McGovern said he don't flow like that. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things. Should I say that? No, with spiritual things. I was going to say spiritual things with how much money you gave in that line. No, but spiritual things with spiritual things, all right? So the Spirit of God connects to me through my spirit and gives me all the information I will ever need for my life. Does that make sense? This is why when you hear us talking about praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues or in those kind of things, it is so vitally important to have this heavenly prayer language, all right? Because when I pray in the Spirit, I am literally praying the perfect will of God for my life, all right? And that's all that is. When you hear us praying, and when sometimes pastor will come up and I begin to start praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues and those kind of things, that is a prayer language that allows my spirit to pray directly to God. You got it. And gives my spirit all the information that it needs, you got it, for this ministry and for my life and for my family and those kind of things. Also, when I pray in the Spirit, the Bible says that I build myself up. I encourage myself. I strengthen myself. And it's not hard to receive, you know, the Spirit and it's not hard to receive the Holy Ghost and that language, you got it, because it's a gift that's freely given. All you have to do is, by faith, receive it, ask God for it, and receive it. You got it? And you have to just open your mouth. In the book of Acts, the Bible says, and they spake. If you're not careful, you say, you know, okay, Lord, give it to me. But you just start praying, you got it, and you start worshiping God, and those kind of, and then that utterance begins to come up, and some people don't want to go that far because they say, oh man, this seems crazy, you know, but it is really how, you know, another way that your spirit can directly communicate to God. Let me give you some proof text, because you know I'm never going to tell you something that I don't show you in the Word. 1 Corinthians, are y'all getting anything out of this? 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and the 2nd verse. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, all right, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So most of the time, when I'm speaking my prayer language, it's when I'm by myself. You got it? It's when I'm by myself. Sometimes when I'm driving to the gym, you got it, it takes me 20 minutes to get there. I'll turn off all, you know, I don't actually have anything on in my car. I don't do music and stuff. Lady thinks that's so funny. She's like, it's so quiet in here. I was like, yeah, but can't you hear from God? And she just looks at me like, okay, brother. And sometimes I will pray in the Spirit for 5 minutes straight, 6 minutes straight. You got it? Because I know I'm praying the perfect will of God for my life. I know I'm building myself up. 1 Corinthians, and so that's mostly when we do it. Sometimes when I'm up here and I begin to pray in the Spirit, it's because the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate something that he wants me to say, a word or something like that, all right? 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, in the 14th verse says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful, all right? And so that is why I would never come up here for 28 minutes and just pray in the Spirit the whole 28 minutes, because you wouldn't have any idea what's going on. Does that make sense? Now, there are times when we're all worshiping God together, and I tell you, pray in the Spirit, and we're all beginning to worship God or pray in the Spirit. That's a little different, all right? Romans 8 and 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. He says, we know not what we should pray. He didn't say you don't know how to pray, all right? He says sometimes there's something, you're in a situation or a season, you don't exactly know what to pray, all right? And he says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. All right? So it's important for me to learn how to pray in the Spirit, because when we pray in English, watch this, our thoughts, our prejudice, our fears can intervene because we are organizing our prayers in our mind. Does that make sense? I know I do. When I get up, you know, the first thing I do is, you know, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, right? So I begin to thank God. Enter into his courts with praise. I begin to praise God, you know, and then, you know, so I'm thanking him for a bunch of stuff. I'm praying for, and then the first thing I do is I pray for me and Lady. You got it? Because everything flows from there. You got it? Jay and Hannah will be all right as long as, you know, James and LaConte are. Does that make sense? So everything kind of flows from, pray for the ministry. I've just got my own regiment. You got it? But sometimes, you know, you don't need a regiment. You just need to pray in the Spirit. Because have you ever, you don't have to answer, but have you ever began to pray for someone and then a bad thought of how they mistreated you shows up and God wanted you to pray for that person, but the enemy now has distracted you from praying for that person because the Bible says that you even pray for those who do evil to you. You got it? So when we pray in our heavenly language, the Holy Spirit will give our spirit the information to pray about and we will pray a pure, unadulterated prayer. So as I pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will give my spirit the information that it needs for the situation or the season that I'm in, all right? And then something else that happens is, so sometimes I tell you, you'll be reading the scripture, and then intrusively the Spirit of God will speak to you and give you an answer. Same thing when you're praying in the Spirit. You'll begin to pray in the Spirit, and then boom, an answer that you need or some direction that you have will just begin to show up in your life. Does that make sense? All right, last point, everybody say number five. Number five, another way to hear from God is through the ministry gifts. I can hear God through my man and my woman of God. And you must value this gift, all right? And you have to value it because Lady and I aren't going to make you value it. I got three rights. No, because my whole thing is, y'all know who Frank Sinatra is? Remember when he moved and went to New York? And started singing the song, "Start Spreading the News, I'm Leaving Today." Some of y'all know that. If you wave to me if you know who Frank Sinatra is. Oh, okay, yeah. He's talking about how he's singing the song, telling everybody he's leaving and going to New York. He tells them, if I can make it there, I make it anywhere. Right? Yeah, watch this here. If you can't make it here, you can't make it anywhere. Right? Because we don't put no pressure on you. We love everybody. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so you have to value that for yourself. All right? The Bible says follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. You got it? So we are very blessed people, although we don't try to flaunt it. You got it? But you should want a man and woman of God that have taken the word of God and applied it in their life and got results so you can follow the same pattern so you can get the same results in your life. Does that make sense? But when you follow me and Lady with your faith. You must respect that God can use us in a moment to speak to you to help give you clarity for a season that you're in your life, all right? And so when you hear God's voice through your man or your woman of God, number one, it will impact your future. You can get directions for your future from your man and woman of God because he has given us oversight over you because you have submitted to us. Watch this. And to the degree that we open our mouths when we're on the stage or when we're talking to you and all those kind of things, God can speak directly through us to you. You got it? So it can impact your future. Second thing it can do is it can influence your focus. It can influence your focus. All right? And so because Lady LaConte and I are focused, that can cause you to get focused. When you see us, focus always on the word, always on family, always on loving people, but you notice that we're never focused in drama and we're never focused in craziness and we're never focused, but we're only focused on the right stuff. And when you hang around focused folk, you will only hear focused folk talking. Right? Because I must be careful who I'm allowing to speak into my life. You got it? And you must manage the voices that you're hearing. Does that make sense? And then, so number one, it impacts my future. Number two, it influences my focus. And number three, it intensifies my fortitude. What do you mean by that? You get bold. Paul tells his son in the Gospel of Timothy, he says, stir up the gift. You got it? He says, let no man despise your youth. He said, Timothy, I prophesied over you. I laid hands on you. The whole presbytery was there. The elders were there. There's something in you, but it's up to you to get bold. You got it? And say, wait a minute. Hold on. An impartation has taken place in my life. You got it? And watch this. And for WLCC, the same thing that's on Pastor and Lady is on me because I'm connected. So therefore, same grace is on my life. So they walk in anointing, I walk in anointing. They walk in boldness, I walk in boldness. They walk in success, I walk in success. Everybody say same grace. Same grace. And so it intensifies my fortitude because now I understand that God is no respecter of persons, but he's only a respecter of faith. So for what he does for one in principle, he will do for another. I think this is a good time to let's go home, maestro number two. So watch this. To the degree I will learn and take time to begin to read his written word and read it and read it and read it. You got it? Watch this. Is when that rhema word can begin, where God can start speaking to me. But I have to understand that he can speak to me through several different ways. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. And I just want you to open your mouth and just begin to worship God. I want you just for a moment, just begin to worship God. And, you know, if you're a newer believer, you say, well, Pastor, what does that look like? And for you at this moment, it's just like, just Father, I thank you. Father, I love you. Just thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness in my life. Thank you for your grace in my life. You got it. If you know how to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. And maybe you're here today and you have a desire to hear from God. And you have a desire for that heavenly prayer language. I'm not even going to make you come up. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you an opportunity right where you're sitting. I'm going to give you an opportunity right where you're sitting. Let's just worship God for a moment. And as you're worshiping God, if you're in the room and you want to have that heavenly prayer language, now, yes, it can happen by someone laying hands on you, but we see through Scripture that there are times when people laid hands and there are times when people did not lay hands and both still receive, because the key is that I'm receiving it by faith. And all you have to do is just begin to pray to God and just tell the Lord that you know, Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died, that he rose again with all power. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And Lord, I desire that language. I desire that gift. So right now, Father, I freely receive that gift into my life in Jesus' name. And then as you begin to worship and as you continue to worship God, there'll be an utterance that'll just come up, and you have to not allow fear to come. You can't allow anxiety to come. You can't have any questions or distraction. And you just open your mouth and then you just begin to speak. And it might sound a little bit funny, and it's not going to necessarily sound like pastor. It's not going to sound like somebody else, but you can just open your mouth and you can just begin to speak. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. That's you, and you want to just open your mouth and receive it in Jesus' name. Open your mouth and begin to speak right now and receive it in Jesus' name. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that was you, if you got it, just kind of wave at me so I know. If that was you, okay, all right, okay, 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 all right, there's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, there's five. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's just worship with him for a moment. Let's just worship with him just for a moment. If you know how to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Father, I thank you for what you've done in their lives today. And Father, I thank you that you've given them that language, Father. And I thank you that they'll become even more fluent in that language, oh God. I thank you, Father, that as they pray that language, Father, in the name of Jesus, that it builds them up, that it strengthens them, that it encourages them, that your spirit is directly communicating with their spirit, and they're praying the perfect will of God for their lives. I thank you that it will bring them peace, and it will bring them comfort, and it will bring them confidence. I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand. That was amazing.